And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 261, your week 18 Fab preview. Yes, baseball will be starting up by the time you hopefully listen to this in your ear holes on whatever podcast platform you're on. If you're watching this live, we have one more sleep to go before we get some real baseball. But before we get to all that fun, nonsense, and more, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at Ryan BHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
I'm good. Eagerly awaiting the second half. I always feel like the All-Star break's one day too long for me.
Well, it used to only be 3 days. They used to play on Thursday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, didn't it? It used to be three, right?
For us that, you know, grew up in an era where the world was right, yes, they played on Thursdays.
Yeah, that's the reason the world's gone to hell, is it the extra...
I was just trying to phrase it, but I'm not saying we're old, Ryan. I was trying to rephrase it.
No, I'm ready to get back into the routine, because even like we were talking before, but like even when it's the off season, I'm like we're doing like forecaster or we're drafting or something. This all I could do is, I don't know, play NCAA, which not bad, but I'm ready for baseball to be back.
The biggest thing I realized was Coldplay still relevant. So that's interesting to me. That's what I picked up on Thursday.
Yeah, apparently they still are, and that helped me get through today. That was pretty wild. Pretty wild stuff.
Didn't know they're selling out venues these days. I thought they're more, was it Chris Martin who's the lead singer? I thought he was just dating supermodels and living life. So I was pretty impressed. They're still going strong.
And I thought Chris Martin was a closer for the Rangers. So I don't know.
Want to be a closer? Can't throw over 88 these days. So it's a little tricky for the old man. But yes, Coldplay came through. Things I never thought I'd say, as the kids say, it was not on my bingo card this year. So yes, baseball's coming back though. We got a few moves. We had a couple trades. Adam Frazier back to the Royals. Dane Dunning to the Braves. We are not going to cover those on today's show because we'll wait for the relevant situations, like Lou Bob going somewhere, maybe some other like pitchers going places that'll actually have an impact on things. We'll get that caught up for you guys throughout the next couple of weeks, as the deadline is July 31st. We are 2 weeks from today for that deadline. But first, it's a good and a bad situation here. Bad, Jake Berger's out 2 to 3 weeks, Ryan. Good, Rowdy Tellez is back in our lives. any thoughts on this for the Texas Rangers?
I mean, what an on-brand move to bring us into the second half. The Berger Rowdy swap. Like that's right up our alley. It sounds like it'll be a platoon though, right? With Berger against righties and who?
Tellez versus righties.
Or sorry, Tellez against righties and some other dude against lefties.
Justin Foscue.
Justin Foscue.
Yes.
Apologies to Justin Foscue there. So it's all schedule dependent. If I'm looking, and like as we record this late Thursday night, like it seems like at least for this coming weekend, rotations are starting to get pretty set. It's a little bit blurry next week when we talk, but like Texas gets one lefty, two righties this weekend in Detroit, and then next weekend Texas would get three lefties, three righties if that holds. So like it's just tough to, if you're trying to go corner, you're not looking at Foscue at all, but do you want to try and stream Rowdy? And I think if you've got 5-6 or more games in a week against right-handed pitching, you can go Rowdy, but it's not going to be the case for at least another week, and then maybe Berger's back sometime shortly after that. So sorry, Rowdy. Hope he does well, but I don't know if he's pick-upable in fantasy.
No, he's not likely to add in fantasy. It's more just exciting to have the big man back in our lives for a little bit. He's gonna be in Texas. It's like all the barbecue down there, the things they could do with him and the Mr. Bubba Burgers himself. I'm just more surprised, like with Burgers' injury, he pinch hit on Saturday, he was in the lineup Sunday, got late scratched, and now he's out 2 to 3 weeks. I'm like, what the heck just happened to this injury with Burgers? So we'll see how it plays out. Hopefully it's nothing too crazy, but he just keeps getting these little nagging injuries that are derailing as he's starting to actually hit the ball and he's starting to really get things going. So that's a big bummer there.
Are you still holding on Berger? It's 97% rostered in NFBC 12 teamers, 34% started Jake Berger.
Yeah, if it's just 2 to 3 weeks, I'll hold. If there's a setback, we readdress that situation. But for now, I'm holding, as we've talked so many times, even on our first half positional reviews, first base sucks. So I was so happy when Berger came back the first time. I'll continue to play that game. I actually picked up Vaughn in a couple places this last week. That tells you the level of first base needs out there. And he's platooning, most likely. Like, not complete platoon, but he is sitting versus the occasional righty. So it's bad. So, yes, I will be holding Jake Berger, barring another setback.
Berger's known to go off in second halves of prior seasons as well, just like Michael Harris. So you gotta hold on there.
No, not just like Michael Harris. It's a completely different set of, I don't know if skills isn't the right word for that one, but you brought it up this time, Ryan. I did.
My fault. Usually it's you or some other active God that brings Michael Harris into my life. But
tonight beautiful. It was See what the long break does to you. It just brings back bad memories.
Self-inflicting wounds over here.
Let's talk about a potential wound. Now, it's not self-inflicted by any people that drafted him. It's not self-inflicted by any Pirates fans. But some of the rumors on the streets is Paul Skene is going to start having his workload decreased over the last 10 weeks of the season. Feels like a Garrett Crochet type situation. Skene's did have a pretty normal workload last year once he came up, so that's kind of surprising, but maybe since the Pirates are so bad, why use the bullets in the gun? I don't know. Where are you at on this? Because I remember, and obviously we have to see it take place, and there's a lot of steps to this process, but just trying to get ahead of it here, because with Crochet last year, we got to the point where he was kind of a drop in league, especially if he needed wins, because he's not going to help you in that regard. So let's see what the Pirates do, obviously, but if these rumors are true and he starts not getting wins anyways, but if things get worse, how do you approach this?
I mean, one of my things is, is Paul Skene even contributing wins to you anyway? He's got 4 wins in 20 starts, which is just, I don't know. Well, I do know how you're on the Pirates, but a 2.01 ERA in 20 starts and you've got 4 wins. So he's not doing much for you there anyway. Yeah, this all just depends. This was surprising to me too, for exactly what you said, Bubba. Like, we didn't get this type of treatment from Skene's last year. So is it a 4-inning Crochet type deal, or is it, they're not going to let Skene's go 7 or 100 pitches. Maybe it's 5-6 innings and 80, something like that. So something to monitor, but like, I mean, you're not really doing anything about it. Like, you're not dropping Skene's, I don't think. Like, you're getting, worst case, 4 innings of really good strikeouts ratios and that sort of thing. And even like Crochet at the end of last year, he was still kind of valuable. He just wasn't getting wins. And I mean, that's same with Skene's all season this year.
For sure. Just something for the folks out there to watch, as it might get even potentially worse if you are rostering Skene's these days. Like, he might just be a glorified Joe Boyle pretty soon, because Joe Boyle's now back to a 2-3 inning role and not even piggybacking Drew Rasmussen right now. So that would be another one to keep an eye on. Last bit of news here. We hit on this on Tuesday when we found out Connor Norby would start the second half on the IL when he was with wrist inflammation, Ryan. Quite inflamed. He had surgery on his hamate bone. He's out 6 to 8 weeks, aka the rest of the season, pretty much. It is 10 weeks to go, but let's just be real about that one. You're probably dropping Connor Norby. Any other thoughts on that?
No, not really. I mean, we talked on Tuesday, I think, about Graham Pauly for probably too long. Anytime you talk about Graham Pauly is probably too long. So, no, I don't think – I mean, that's probably the logical replacement at third base at least against right-handed pitching. But, not really a target for me. And, yes, you're dropping Connor Norby, who was one of my favorite targets in draft season, and that has not gone well.
Well, the right side is one of your favorite targets of draft season. You can't drop them in drafts and holds, so you'll still have him close to your heart. Yeah.
Him and Lance Lynn. Well, I've got Lance Lynn on some teams in draft and holds.
Remember when he was going to sign and close for people at one stretch there in the offseason? Man, those are good times. Those are real good things. Because how beautiful would it be to see that specimen, like Rod Beck-esque.
Beck, out of the that's pin. Exactly what I was just going to, yes.
As a Giants fan, I used to see that goofy man, R.I.P., come out of wave that arm is glorious. Glorious.
He has passed. Yeah. Wow. Yes, 2007.
Yes.
Jeez.
It's been a while. Wow. Yes. Been a while. All right. Let's pass it on to the week 18 FAB preview. So as Ryan mentioned earlier, we have a rough idea of the schedule. So what do you got when we're looking at here?
So, I mean, we know the schedule, where we have a rough idea of the probables, I guess. We'll still kind of normally do our thing. I'm not going to focus, at least in some of the names that I'm going to bring up, might be just more of like a second half type of thing to keep an eye on. Because if we're playing the matchups, the lefty-righty matchups with streamers, at least as we're recording, that this stuff could change a lot for next week. So grain of salt there, but it will not deter us from doing our thing. There are plenty of games slated for the first full week back from the All-Star break. You've got the Orioles and Blue Jays at 7. You've got no five game weeks. You've got Cleveland, Detroit at 7. The A's, Astros, Angels, Mariners, all 7 games. And then the Cardinals and Padres as well with 7 games. So tons of baseball in our first full week back, which is good to see.
As it should be. Another week without 5 game teams, which is glorious to see. We'll start with the Baltimore Orioles, one of the 7 game teams on the week. They start the week with 4 at the Cleveland Guardians, 3 at home versus Colorado, which we always love to target, Ryan. There's 3 lefties and 4 righties, but if you are targeting the Colorado series, it's 1 lefty and 2 righties. Anything standing out to you with Baltimore? It's a team we talked about in recent weeks, pretty much locked in these days when it comes to starting lineups.
Pretty much locked in. It is a really good schedule, right? It's an 11% K-minus walk. The start to 7 starters going against the O's. So any kind of fringe start sit guys, you may want to roll there. Ramon Laureano, I know we bring him up every freaking week, but Bubba, he's still only 57% rostered in 12-teamers on the NFBC. In a 7-game week like that, I think playing time continues to be locked in. For Laureano, I like him. And then more of just like a long-term thing, I'm quite confident your guy, Ryan O'Hearn, gets traded at some point before the deadline. I don't know who that opens it up for, but like Ryan Mountcastle, at least last I saw, might be back end of the month, early August type thing. So he could be back and get regular playing time. It could open up, and this could be crazy, but it could open up playing time for Kobe Mayo, you know, like one of your best prospects that you should probably play. So just keep an eye on a potential O'Hearn trade, which would open up first base DH and maybe give. I mean, I'd love to see Mayo get extended run for the first time. And I think fantasy wise, he'd be very viable, at least depending on how he does. But if he gets that regular playing time, I think that's worthy of an ad.
You know, they'll just call up Heston Kjerstad to clog things up. So
yeah, exactly. So
the usual suspects there. If you are looking for something to target against Colorado, Trevor Rogers is widely rostered, but maybe people have been giving up on Sagano. He's got a 2-step next week with that second start against the Road Rockies. Sagano's not a massive strikeout guy, but if you're looking for someone to take care of business, Brian Bello's not a big strikeout guy either, and he dominated the Rockies right before the first half of the season. So Sagano could be a dude to keep in mind in that regard as well.
I like it. Yep.
All right, Boston Red Sox, they have 6 games next week, 3 at Philadelphia, 3 at home versus the Dodgers. Looks like it's a 3-3 lefty-righty split down the middle. That Dodgers series, though, might be interesting. So what are your thoughts with the Boston Red Sox?
I want to see, so before the break, Masataka Yoshida played the entire weekend as DH against all right-handed pitching. Let's see, and we'll see this time, maybe this weekend too. Will Yoshida start against lefties? Is he an everyday player, or is Yoshida a platoon bat? If Yoshida is an everyday player, I think he's 15-team viable just because the batting average and a decent lineup around him. I don't know about 12s. I'll leave that to you, your expertise. But someone I'm actually looking at, we both, like Romy Gonzalez was the hot ad a couple weeks ago, not playing regularly against right-handed pitching. So that's not good with Yoshida back and Alex Bregman. So I was gonna say, if you have Romy Gonzalez in anything shallower than a 15, it's you got to move on there.
Yeah, really curious to see what and also if you're a Marcelo Meyer guy, he sits first lefties pretty religiously, so not a good week for him if you're trusting that.
Yeah.
But yep. Really curious to see how the trade deadline goes for Boston, because some articles they're buying like crazy, other ones Jaron Duran's gone. So really curious to see how that opens things up and moves things around. And
I don't know why they would trade Jaron Duran, but whatever. Same with Aroldis Chapman. He's been rumored, but I mean, Red Sox are like the hottest team in baseball right now, and they're 3 back of the AL East. So, like, what are we doing here?
Blowing it up seems kind of odd.
Yeah. The last thing I have on the Red Sox is the rotation. We've talked about this a little bit in the past, but Tanner Houck is coming back, it sounds like, as a reliever.
Yes.
Deservedly. And so let's see how long Walker Buehler sticks around, if Richard Fitz sticks around. I think both of our collective Bubba in the Bloom eyes are on Kyle Harrison. waiting for that call up. And maybe if you want to get in a week early there, I think Kyle Harrison could be pretty good for you down the stretch.
I would love to see them call him up to go take on the Dodgers at the end of next week. That would really bring tears to my eyes potentially as he shuts down that team. And as Tatis says, that team that wears white and blue. All right, the New York Yankees, they have six games this week, three at the Jays, three at home versus Philadelphia, one lefty and five righties for a Yankees team that the bats are waking up is the nicest way I'll say it, but nothing we can really do a ton of in the fab world.
Yeah, Giancarlo Stanton's looking pretty good and creating playing time waves in the Bronx. Like Ben Rice, it's tough, man. He gets this catcher eligibility, but like, so he's a very hard drop, but like the guy is, he's started two of the last six games. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to do if you have Ben Rice, especially if you're counting on him as a catcher. Trent Grisham, that playing time has kind of long sailed away. That was fun while it lasted, but again, just two starts in the last six games for Trent Grisham. That's pretty much it. Luis Gil threw 50 pitches in a rehab start on Sunday, so he will be back, if all goes well, maybe a couple more starts. And so let's see what happens to our guy Schlitz, Marcus Stroman. Who does Luis Gil replace in that rotation?
That's the big thing. Is they're still saying Luis Gil likely two more starts. They're aiming for the end of July on that one. So we'll see how that plays out. You mentioned it before that Stroman's probably hurt. Schlitz should stick around. Heck, there's been rumors that Eel goes to the bullpen, so it's not like it's a done deal with him as well. Yeah. If he goes to the bullpen,
that would make sense, actually.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways this could, like, if Schlitz just keeps pitching well, he'll force the hand, is what it feels like. He has to pitch well, and then it makes the decisions harder but easier at the same time, if that makes any sense at all. And
Schlitz is Cam Schlittler for new listeners of the show. Probably not many at this point, but that's our guy.
Tampa Bay Rays, they go back to that minor league ballpark. Three games at home versus the White Sox, which is always great. Then they go on the road for three at Great American Small Park. So this is a phenomenal schedule for the Tampa Bay Rays. One of the best on the entire slate. One lefty, five righties for the Tampa Bay Rays. So even a team that platoons a lot, at least it's a one-sided affair. Problem is, they're probably mostly rostered.
Right. Did you see that the MLB said that if the Rays make the postseason, they're going to play their games at Steinbrenner.
They get to stay at Steinbrenner Field.
I'm so rooting for them to go to the World Series. So there's a World Series game there.
Would love nothing more than that. I could be so good.
I am now a Rays fan, I guess. Not much on the hitting side. Ha-Seong Kim was our kind of the guy we talked about in previous weeks, but he's been pretty much widely rostered. I think the big note from over the All-Star break is we've got a lot of Joe Boyle fans. We have got a lot of questions. What do I do with Joe Boyle? For those that haven't seen it, it's the Rays, if we take them at their word, are saying Drew Rasmussen is going to stay as a starter with a starter's workload going forward, and Joe Boyle is now a multi-inning reliever. If that stays the case, I don't see how you could hold Joe Boyle.
Yeah, it makes it very tough. They're saying it's going to be a 2-3-inning reliever, similar to what Rasmussen did last year, and some other guys that basically next season become really good starters. Is that the way the Rays work? And to your point, this is what the Rays have done mainly every season with these guys. So you kind of have to believe it when you're looking at it. It's a tough drop just because he's so darn good, but if he's not starting or at least piggybacking, it's a tough hold. Just remember, he's an injury away from getting right back in there. So he should be the keyword.
And would it surprise us he comes out and starts something next week? Like, I don't know. Can we trust what the Rays are saying here? So I don't know. If you have Boyle, if you can afford to kind of hold him for another week and just kind of see what Tampa Bay actually does, I think that's probably the best way to go about it.
Agreed. If you can pull that stunt off, I would be much, much inclined to do so. Other than that, nothing too actionable, even on the pitching side. Like, if you want the White Sox in that ballpark, Shane Baz, Rasmussen, Taj Bradley, pretty much all rostered. So and it's dicey because Taj does better road splits than home splits. So not sure you really want to approach any of that going forward.
Yeah.
Toronto Blue Jays, they have seven games next week, three at home versus the Yankees, four at the Red Hot Detroit Tigers, and has a tough pitching matchup there. Two lefties and five righties for the Jays, who are also one of the hotter teams in baseball, hitting the All-Star break. But Not a whole lot. Like Nathan Lukes is actually swinging it really well. Like if you, at least in deeper formats, I don't dispose that, but other than that, not a whole lot here for me.
Ditto. Actually
it's Lucas. I apologize. Lucas.
Yeah. I don't have anything to add, actually. I don't see much of anything with the Blue Jays. It's a fun week for him. Like, that's a big Yankee series, and then going to Detroit. Those are two of the hottest teams in the AL. So big week for him, but fab wise, no.
You buying Scherzer off the last start against the A's?
I mean, you kind of have to until he breaks again, which could be at any point, but yeah.
And then I'll throw this out there just for everyone that loves him and mentions him all the time. Eric Lauer has been really good. Eric Lauer faces the Detroit Tigers this week, who hit lefties very, very well. So I'm probably going to sit that one out. If you want to add him and just keep him as a bench streamer, knock yourself out. But just know that Eric Lauer's upcoming schedule is not great. It's Detroit this week, and then next week at Baltimore, who actually isn't the best versus lefties. Yeah. So that's not bad. But that Detroit Tiger start scares me. So if you want to get him and stash him, cool. Wouldn't get too excited just yet. And looks Scott like, Burks, to your point, no Ernie Clement recommendations. That's just built in. Now, if you haven't listened to me by now, you're on your own island, folks.
I wasn't even going to bring up Ernie Clement. And then, of course, Burks chimes in. We have to have an Ernie Clement every single time, don't we?
And then Scott Slezak says, do you think Varsho is back next week? Varsho was supposed to start a rehab earlier this week. I have not heard him start his rehab yet. He kept getting postponed. So, like, in a perfect world, he's back next week, but he keeps getting setbacks. So if you want to stash Varsho, I know people have been doing that of late. Go for it, because we know he has got really good power speed, batting averages iffy, 50% rostered in 12s. Totally support that if you want to do it. There's just no clear-cut answer on when he's actually coming back right now.
Last thing on Eric Lauer, he's set to pitch against your Giants this coming weekend, and I like that start a lot. So if you're setting lineups on Friday, Giants struggle against lefties. So Eric Lauer, start him this weekend, and then probably bail for that Detroit start, and then put him back in at Baltimore if that's how it shakes out over his next three starts.
Yeah, Giants are atrocious versus a lot of teams, but especially lefties. AL Central, Chicago White Sox, six games this week, three at Tampa Bay in that beautiful minor league ballpark, and then three at home versus the Chicago Cubs. Two lefties and four righties for your White Sox. Are you going back to the Benintendi well?
Always, man. I got to repeat myself every week because Andrew Benintendi is only 27% rostered in 12 teamers on the NFBC. So I like the week for Andrew Benintendi. If it is four righties, I'll see a little more, but I think he's gonna do well. And then I don't know, the only other name I've got is Colson Montgomery, just because he's a big prospect. I don't know, like, short term, and he's playing every day pretty much. Is there everyday shortstop? A lot of K's, not much speed, so you're kind of banking on the power and then passable plate skills. So it's really more of like an AL only 15 team play if you're desperate up the middle, but figured I'd give Colson Montgomery a shout just because the playing time's safe and this is a pretty highly regarded prospect.
I'll keep bringing up Lennon Sosa, especially in 15s, but
yeah,
maybe 12 team viable, especially with that first three in Tampa. Dude's at five home runs over the last 3 weeks, stole a bag as well, you know, hitting 250 plus more often than not. So that's a guy I have a ton of DC shares of, and I have some 15 team shares in recent weeks. In 12s with that, if you're really trying to play the half weeks right now, I love that first three games in Tampa Bay with Lennon Sosa.
I like that. If we're talking stream against for the White Sox, Boz, Rasmussen, Bradley are rostered, and Monago, Boyd are rostered. Would you roll Cade Horton out there as a pickup in Fab this week, assuming he starts against the White Sox?
Yeah, we talked about that before the show, Ryan. Like, if you look at your starting pitching planner, he has the fourth best set of matchups coming up here, and I do not care.
So he misses bats. I'm rolling with Cade as a conditional in 15s.
Well, in 15s, you need
to start. That's not the best. That's not a glowing endorsement.
You need to accumulate in 12s. You got to be pretty desperate, I think, at this point in the year, which maybe you're saying screw ratios. I want wins and strikeouts. Then, yeah, I could see the appeal in that case. Okay. All right. Cleveland Guardians, seven games this week, four against Baltimore, three at the Royals. one lefty, six righties for the Cleveland Guardians, a team that doesn't change their lineup a bunch. But we mentioned this last time when the second half of the week was good for the right-handed pitching. Kyle Manzardo plays a lot, and he had a couple home runs last week, and he's 37% rostered in 12s.
Yeah, I was going to mention Kyle Manzardo. He is a platooner, but it's six righties for Cleveland this week. And yeah, power's somewhat on the upswing lately, so maybe you want to take advantage of that. That's about it, though. Like I almost want to say Nolan Jones. I guess I just did, but like still not all that great. That's more of an emergency outfielder in 15s, but someone who will play and I think hit near the top of the lineup against righties.
He's been hitting second the last like five games.
Yeah.
He's moved up to the top of the order.
I mean, it's not the best lineup out there. Like Cleveland's pretty bad as an offense right now, but I guess you could do worse than Nolan Jones if you're looking for a fifth outfielder.
Well, I got this for you. Over his last 14 games, so 2 weeks entering the thing, hitting .298, no homers, four runs, three RBIs, two steals. So he's got steals and hitting for average, striking out almost 32% of the time, which is less than ideal. 40% hard hit rate. So it's a deep league play. I could see it with the matchups is why I bring it up. Yes, it's funny. It's Nolan Jones. The overall stat line, not great. But in a it goes to the point that you can stream outfielders we beat that drum in draft season and everything. I wouldn't completely throw him out, at least in a 15, as a guy that could sit there for the week and some decent matchups there. If you look at those Baltimore starts,
Sedano, good matchups, yeah.
So I could see throwing Nolan Jones out there.
All right, there we go. It worked.
Done. Detroit Tigers, they have seven games this week, three at Pittsburgh, four at home versus Toronto, two lefties, five righties, tough set of matchups, but Tigers just hitting everybody these days, Ryan. So what do you have here?
So it is Skeens with the Pittsburgh. That is a tough go. I don't have much. Like I'm not too thrilled with what Parker Meadows has done this year, and even the playing time is starting to wane, so that's disappointing. Country music star Colt Keith leading off against righties, probably widely rostered in 12s, I want to say
88%.
Okay, 88, yeah. So I guess never mind, but check and see if Colt Keith is out there. But outside of that, man, I don't have much.
Nope, there is not much to go off of there, that is for sure. Kansas City Royals, they have six games coming up, three at the Cubbies, three at home versus Cleveland, two lefties, four righties. Another one of the really solid matchups for the week, Ryan. So what do you like here from the Royals? Are you picking up Adam Frazier?
I am not. Man, what a way to get the deadline stove boiling with that one. Adam Frazier, who was he traded for? Wasn't it like
a shortstop prospect, like a 28-year-old prospect, yes.
Okay. So no, I'm not interested there. It might even block Mount Massey, who's starting a rehab assignment. Michael Massey, who my guy for some reason, but no, I would not recommend him. Actually, one name that I would at least just throw out there is Nick Lofton, hitting somewhat well lately, playing regularly at second base. Maybe that changes now with Frazier back in the fold, but Nick Lofton has at least been showing a little bit of power lately, but does have three home runs and a .198 batting average in 103 plate appearances. So why am I talking about Nick Lofton?
So he has made fun of Nolan Jones and we're talking Nick Lofton right now. So yeah.
If we actually edited this podcast, we should probably remove that last 20 seconds of what I just said. I thought he was better than that. I wrote him up.
He's playing a ton, and so like he's getting the at-bats. It's just a matter of do they do anything, and right now they're not doing much. It's like the whole poke with a stick. What do you say? Or it's the office space. What do you say you do around here?
Yeah, he's a Bob.
Yeah.
Bob. Yeah, never mind. Okay. Disregard.
This is not a pickup, but just in case you want some entertainment projected on Tuesday because they need a spot starter. Dick Mountain's taking the bump, it looks like, for Kansas City. 45-year-old Dick Mountain. So,
wow. I thought he retired.
So did I. I was looking at the projected starters. He's in the minor leagues with them right now. Yeah, so
he's not even on the team.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Because they can go 4-man rotation for a while with off days. They just need him to start that day, and then they're good again, probably till Reagans gets back, if all goes well. So yeah, if you want some entertainment, there you go.
Real quick, just second half wise, like if the Royals are out of it, do they trade? Like they could trade Carlos Estevez.
Yes, they could.
He does have one more year on his deal, but that also could mean the Royals get back more in return for just not a half year rental. So I don't know. Like I'm not saying go out and grab Lucas Ursig, but if you've got an extra roster spot and just want to kind of grab a closer spec or two at least and see it through the trade deadline, I wouldn't be that surprised if Carlos Estevez is moved.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. Nick Lofton might get moved too. So
Nick Lofton,
make sure you have that
back. I had to throw some other name out there other than Nick Lofton because that was disastrous.
Love it. Love it. Minnesota Twins, they have 6 games, 3 at the Dodgers, 3 at home versus Washington, 2 lefties and 4 righties. That Washington series is the 2 lefties and 1 righty. And it's Parker, Gore, and Irvin. So 1 tough lefty. The rest, not too bad. What do you like with Minnesota? It's a team that pretty well rostered.
Pretty well rostered. One name, this was put in our Discord today in our news channel. Luke Kuechel is rehabbing. And Luke Kuechel was really damn good in a short stint when he was first called up, to the point where if Luke Kuechel is like 2 weeks away, I think that's a spot in deeper leagues you want to hold and stash that guy. So take a look, see what your flexibility is, see if Luke Kuechel is available if you're not an IL league, because that could be a sneaky decent ad on Sunday.
I like that. He could take Brooks Lee's spot. He's basically on the bench these days anyway.
He'll play. So, I mean, Luke Kuechel should play.
Should play quite a bit. Sebi Matthews expected back next week, if you are, even this weekend potentially. I've seen 2 beat reporters say he could either pitch Sunday or Monday is what it's looking for. Monday is the Dodgers, so don't worry about that, but he could be back.
Bailey Ober rehabbing on Friday? Hey, let's at least...
Or is he working on something else in the years?
Let's just see what the velocity is. Let's just see what the velocity is. Because I do think that if he can get back up to what it was last season, and maybe the time off, maybe Bailey Ober was pitching hurt and just needed some time off. Would not completely rule them out. So that's all I'm saying.
If you need a guy that's 18% rostered to stream and pitching this week, Simeon Woods Richardson takes on the Washington Nationals. Richardson, he goes about 5 innings every start. He doesn't go deep, but he's allowed 3 earned runs or less in 6 straight starts. Not a master strikeout guy, but the ratios have been pretty darn solid. He's got 3 wins in those 6 starts, and it's a good matchup versus Washington. So SWR is at least... He's on my fab list most weeks now as like a $1 or $2 guy. If you need someone to, in the right matchups, and this is a good matchup week. Sacramento Athletics. They have 7 games this week, all on the road. 3 at Texas, 3 at Houston, 3 lefties, 4 righties. I don't have a whole lot for you here.
Nothing on the lineup. I do want to throw out rotation wise, Jack Perkins, who's. Yeah. I think pretty good as a prospect to begin with and has looked good. I think it's like 27% strikeout minus walk in AAA this year.
Very good.
Pitching out of the bullpen since he's been called up, I think he's thrown like 9 innings, but in like 3-inning stints. And I think Jack Perkins is a candidate to move to the rotation. And if that's the case, I would even consider Jack Perkins in 12s. I know the park is tough and this time of year is tough, but Jack Perkins has some decent skills. And in a time where we're looking anywhere and everywhere for pitching, I think Perkins could be a sneaky good ad this week.
It's pure speculation, but he's projected to join the rotation and get a 2-step next week if he joins the rotation. So to your point, yes, that does check the quote-unquote boxes. I'm just curious what the A's will actually do to the because right. I could see them go with Osvaldo Beto. I could see them go. There's a bunch of.
Well, that's your guy.
Beto. Not this year. He was last year. I have not been on him once this year. We've moved on from that party. But yes, I it should be Jack Perkins. They have been very good about giving these young pitchers opportunities. They usually get hurt or something along the way. So I don't think that's a bad call at all.
Well, and they could also, I mean, they could trade Luis Severino. They have to eat a bunch of money, I think, to do that. I know Severino doesn't want to be there, but
they don't care. They just want the money on the payroll. That's all they signed up for anyways.
Right, exactly. That's why they signed him in the first place. So I do think there are options for if they want to get, if the A's want to get Jack Perkins in there, they can do it.
Totally agree. Houston Astros, they have 7 games this week, 3 at Arizona, 4 at home versus the A's, 3 lefties, 4 righties. Bryce Matthews did not get picked up in many 12s this past week and didn't really deserve to, in my opinion. But yeah. Are you going to jump on that train?
I mean, I like him more than Nick Lofton, so we'll do that.
Okay.
I mean, we talked about Matthews. I just worry about the strikeout rate, but if he plays second base most days, I think that's someone you need to look at in definitely in 15s, maybe even 12s, but to see how the plate skills translate over. We talked about the Jake Myers thing on Tuesday, so we don't need to belabor that one. And then I guess the last thing I have is Spencer Arrighetti is starting a rehab soon.
Yep.
That's already a very crowded rotation. So I don't know when Arrighetti would be back or who he would bump, but like, if he bumps somebody, fantasy rosters are probably losing one of their starting pitchers, because it would be like Colton Gordon, Brandon Walter, or McCullers.
Yeah, not just Arrighetti. Christian Javier and Luis Garcia have already made, like, I think 2 rehab starts. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's right. Jeez.
They're 2 to 3 rehab starts away from, like, come August, there might be 3 starters back in the mix, and by then there could be 3 more injuries in the rotation. Like, Lance McCullers has not been good. But he's probably got the quote-unquote tenure to stay in there. But Brandon Walter, he's actually 5 out of 7 starts. He's been great.
I'd be surprised if it was Brandon Walter.
He's probably awesome. Colton Gordon would be the first man out, is what I would say. And then Lance McCullers should be out as well. But we'll have to see how that plays out. Maybe they go 6 man to your point. Ryan Gusto's still in the bullpen. He has not been horrible. He's not been great, but he's another option in there. Like, the Astros have reinforcements coming, to your point, which will make that situation quite interesting. And supposedly on Thursday, Yordan Alvarez saw a hand specialist. We have not seen any bit of news on that. I was checking about 8 o'clock tonight to see if we saw anything, and nothing yet. Shocker when it comes to the Houston Astros.
I'm just like numb to any Yordan Alvarez update. It's just like, whatever, which could be to my detriment, because watch him come back and just rake for the last 6 weeks. But yeah, nah, I don't know.
You've enjoyed the last 2 months of your life. I'd be numb to it too. It's a lot easier that way.
Yeah.
All right, we have the Angels, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 7 games coming up, 3 at the Mets, 4 against the Seattle Mariners, one of the hardest single weeks
according to
the matchups. 1 lefty, 6 righties. That's great for platooning, but man, Senga, Montas, Bonilla, Evans, Gilbert, Wu, Kirby, that's a lot of swing and miss, my friend.
That's tough. That's rare steak red on the old weekly planner. 22% strikeout minus walk. So tough week ahead for the Angels. I don't have much on the hitting side. They're pretty solid, steady. Like Jorge Soler returned the week before the All-Star break, playing about half the time. So that's tough. Can the Angels even find a suitor for Kenley Jansen?
They're going to try.
That may elevate Reed Detmers, who's been lights out. Again, just trying to throw out some names for closer specs through the deadline. If it doesn't happen, you can cut these guys right after the trade deadline. But like, Reed Detmers has been awesome, and I think it would behoove the Angels to keep him in the bullpen and maybe even move him to the 9th if Jansen's gone.
Yeah, I'm really curious what they're going to do too, because right now they need a 5th starter in the rotation.
Yeah,
and they have a slew of options, just not sure which direction they want to go. Like, they just sent Kiwanowitz down. They give Caden Dana a shot, who's been banged up a lot. Chase Silseth's been banged up a lot. Sean Anderson's been okay. They need help in that rotation. So we'll see where that goes. But another guy you mentioned, Kenley, Yoan Moncada, is being heavily shopped, and people actually are interested in him, apparently. So I bring this up because our buddy, the mascot, will likely go back to third base, because that's what he was doing every time Moncada was out. And things get interesting. Christian Moore should be back from the IL shortly. Chris Taylor's rehabbing, went 3 for 3 on Thursday. You have Chad Stevens, who got called up in a short stint but was crushing AAA. And then there's Kyren Paris and Scott Kingery as well. My point being, a lot of potential guys to keep an eye on that might be stream-worthy at some point in time. So I didn't really help you a ton, I guess, but be prepared for that. Second base in Anaheim to get real interesting real quick.
Bubba, with your Brad Stevens? No, that's the coach. Who's Chad Stevens? Chad Stevens?
He got called up recently. He's having a phenomenal year at AAA. I heard there's a minor league leaderboard you can see all this stuff on. Yeah, he's been pretty good.
Would you take Chad Stevens or Nick Lofton?
Oh, good God. I guess Lofton because he has a job right now. But if they're both playing, I'll take Chad Stevens.
There we go. That's why we get thousands of viewers here at the All-Star break is for that comparison.
I meant to ask you during the Houston segment, would you rather have Bryce Matthews or Colson Montgomery?
That's actually much more relevant question. Yeah. I would go Matthews just because of the speed.
Yeah, that's fair. Very fair. Could go a little Chandler Simpson in him potentially and go crazy. Seattle Mariners, they have 7 games coming up this week, 3 at home versus Milwaukee, 4 at the Angels, 3 lefties, 4 righties for a Mariners team that I don't really like the platoon options to begin with, and now it's not great.
Yeah, the platoon options are okay. I mean, I like Dom Canzone quite a bit, actually. So I like him. Luke Rayleigh's been Cole Young has not been good. Tough to roll with those guys in a 4-game righty week if that's how it shakes out, if that's how it stays. So I don't really have anything else on. I mean, the rotation's pretty stable. Logan Evans, I mentioned him earlier. He is the 5th starter for the Mariners right now, and I think he's a kind of a streamable option depending on who the what the matchup is. So outside of that, let's just hope for another J-Rod second half. Go from there.
I will admit, as much as I'm not a fan of Cat Stevens, that's good. As much as I'm not a fan of Cole Young, he actually had 2 home runs last week, so he's trying to make me eat my words is what he's trying to do. But yeah, still not on board there. All right, the Fighting Rowdy Telezes, the Texas Rangers. They have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the A's, 3 at home versus Atlanta. As you mentioned earlier, 3 lefties and 3 righties. So I'll enjoy watching Rowdy on MLB, the plan I have, but not on my rosters.
Not on your roster. I don't see anything actionable, honestly, for Texas.
Nope, nothing real actionable at all. The only thing you hate me for this probably, but I'm going to keep mentioning Patrick Corbin because he keeps pitching well, and he has more great matchups. Ryan, he's got A's at home and then at the Angels, like back to back weeks. They're 1 start a week, but he keeps getting really good matchups, and he's the lefty Michael Walker right now. That's what he's doing. So
he's running. I will say, like, Corbin is running absolutely pure with these matchups lately. And honestly, like, yeah, I don't know. Last 5 starts, Corbin has a 15% strikeout minus walk, 13% swinging strike. Mm-hmm. What am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
I'll
keep
stop
going.
There.
Keep
no,
going. You're doing great.
I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just threw that out there. Then I will say Kumar Rocker 62% roster, but dude looks a lot better over his last like 4 starts. Kind of look, pitch mix changed up a bit, and he's starting to look a lot better. So, looking for a strikeout upside guy, still volatile, but Kumar Rocker's been pretty good. Yeah. All right, let's head to the National League. The Atlanta Braves, 6 games, 3 at home versus the Giants, 3 at the Texas Rangers. All righties on tap for the Braves, a team that needs to find a pulse quickly.
And I don't think they're going to find it given their recent rotation debuts in Davis Daniel, my guy from last year with the last name is a first name and a first name is a last name. He's resurfaced with the Braves, and now you've got Dane Dunning in there. Like I maybe this turns around for the Braves, and they're not sellers, but I don't see a world where that happens. They're 11 games below 500, 12 and a half back the division. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think Marcell Ozuna is on the team after the trade deadline. I think they got to move him, which should open up. Could they move Drake Baldwin there at DH, give him half the catcher reps and then DH, and then you've got one catcher league relevant guy there. Nacho Alvarez is up in place of Austin Riley. Not super thrilled there, but the playing time will at least be there while Riley's out. That's about all I have outside of the Michael Harris second half we're about to embark on.
Sorry, you're breaking up on that one. We talked before the show. So you mentioned Davis Daniel. It's Davis Daniel, Bryce Elder, Spencer Strider, Joey Wentz, Grant Holmes. That's the starting 5 for the Atlanta Braves.
And how much how much do they push Strider if they're out of
they
it?
They shouldn't.
Right? Like, does Strider pitch in September? Like, if I have Strider on my fantasy team, you're rooting hard for the Braves to stay in contention. Like, he hasn't been Strider this season, but like, still, no. You're counting on him. But like, I could see that experiment saying, we're good. We're good, Spencer. Let's see you back in 2026.
Yeah, it's murky water. I was looking at him for matchups for Friday, and like, he's given up 3 earned runs or less. The strikeouts have been better.
Strikeouts have been, he struck out 11 his last start. Strider.
He's got like two really good strikeout games, but another one's not much. He's walking usually like almost 3 a start the last couple starts, giving up home runs again. Like, it's, he gets the Yankees on Friday night in the Bronx or at Atlanta. So we'll see how that one plays out. Looking forward to that. Miami Marlins, one of the hotter teams in baseball. 3 at home versus the Padres, 3 at the Brewers, 1 lefty, 5 righties. Very good matches according to the numbers. Most of these guys are rostered unless you are a Liam Hicks fan.
Yeah, I don't know how many Liam Hicks fans are out there, but yeah, it could be an option in a right-hand heavy week and a great schedule. 10% strikeout minus walk for the starters going against the Marlins. Jesus Sanchez is not really a fab thing, but I know at least on my teams, he's a weekly start or sit question. Hitting second against righties, I'm putting Jesus in all my lineups. Kyle Stowers is one of the best hitters, one of the hottest hitters entering the break. You're obviously rolling with him there, but those are the two big names for the Marlins that I'm not picking up. They're widely rostered, but you're starting them.
Yep, totally agree on that.
What about Jansen Junk? He pitched well again, didn't he?
He did throw well again. I can't buy it, but he's got at Milwaukee, a team that's
what I was going to look.
Not a walk in the park. So he's got the Yankees the following week. I'm probably still just going to avoid it and hope I'm right eventually on that one.
Yeah. Gets the Jansen Junk, at least as of recording, scheduled to face the Royals on Sunday. Like this current lineup period. So I think you want to roll with Jansen Junk in 15s for the current week that we're in, and then maybe against Milwaukee, depending on how he looks.
And we'll have to keep our ears out on Edward Cabrera, who left his last start with an outer elbow injury, but apparently he's fine. We'll see how that one plays out. I haven't heard any updates over the last couple of days, but it seems like he's avoiding the IL state. It looks as if, I'm reading right here, MRI results and Edward Cabrera confirmed the team's optimism that he could avoid an IL stint. All-star break gives him a few extra days. That's why they pushed him to like the fifth starter out of the break to give him more time. That news came out on the 13th, 4 days ago. So knock on wood, he's okay. He's been pitching pretty good.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he definitely has. But very skeptical of the health.
At least it's not the Astros. We got that going for us. New York Mets, they have 6 games, 3 at home versus the Angels, 3 at the Giants, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Metropolitans. That Angel series looks pretty, pretty, pretty good for the Mets. What do you like on this one? And don't say Brett Beatty, please.
Why not, dude?
I'm just kidding. I just knew it was coming. I had to give you a hard time.
He plays against righties. It's a good schedule.
Does he actually hit versus righties?
No, you know. That's another question, Bubba. He's got 9 homers, 13% barrel. He's better than Nick Lofton. Give him that
high.
Second base, third base. Like, come on, give him some dude. Honestly, the biggest thing I'm looking at is, so like, I think Beatty will at least play a bunch against righties this week. What's the Vientos versus Mauricio back and forth? I know I kind of mentioned that a ton, but like, Mauricio didn't start 2 of the last 4 games heading into the break. Like, he's been hitting, but like the playing time, it's tough to roll with them. And then I don't know how long they can keep rolling with Vientos. Like, I'd rather have Nick Lofton than Vientos at this point.
Oof. That is not a ringing endorsement right there. But yeah, no, the playing time is very, very not good with this situation. You mentioned Mauricio and Vientos. They called up Luis Angel Acuña. He's getting next to no playing time as well.
Yep.
But he's there to make it murky, is what I'll say. So yeah, if they're not playing Mauricio, that is less than ideal on that one. He's still playing more than Angel Acuña. I'd try to hold on a little bit longer because Mauricio is hitting, to your point, where Vientos is not. But they're both playing. Vientos played 4 straight entering the break. And that's a tricky one. I'd like to see something in the first half of the week to get me excited about that, but I don't know if we will. To your Brett Beatty point, over the last like 2.5 weeks, he is hitting .283 with one home run and one steal. So
there we go.
He's hitting with average, kind of like Nolan Jones.
Welcome aboard the bandwagon. I don't even like Brett Beatty that much, yeah, to be honest with you.
There's not a chance I'm on that bandwagon. So I cannot fit on said bandwagon. We'll just go with that. Anything else with the New York Mets? Sean Manaea came back over the weekend. He started on Friday. He struck out 7 3 1/3. Clay Holmes is a little rocky these days. So are we jumping off that ship?
What do you think with the Mets? Yeah, I am jumping off the Clay Holmes ship. The skills have pretty much tanked over the last month or so, and he will be far into uncharted workload territory in the second half. So, I mean, I guess in like non-trading leagues or whatever, like I guess you still roll him out there until something breaks. But yeah, Clay Holmes, I don't know, not too thrilled. But yeah, the Manaea news was good. He's starting first game off the break, like you said, like that's a really good sign. And for those who held all this time, Sean Manaea, I think you're going to be rewarded with a nice second half.
Seems to be the case. Philadelphia Phillies, 6 games, 3 at home versus Boston, 3 at the Yankees. That's quite the American series. Boston and then the Yankees back to back out the great. 1 lefty, yeah. 5 righties for Philadelphia, a team that just plays the same dudes over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's interesting. In the Boston Yankee series, like the matchups are super favorable outside of Carlos Rodon.
Naturally.
Dick Fitz, Bueller, Giolito, Will Warren, Rodon, Stroman. Like, it's about as pure as you can run there. But yeah, there's not too much you can do with the Phillies in terms of ads. They play the same guys every week. We've got the bridge to Aaron Nola in place, installed. Oh, and that's Taiwan Walker.
How big is this bridge?
I don't want to go there, but Taiwan Walker is the team's fifth starter as of now.
In deeper leagues, I'm fine with Brandon Marsh with all the righties on tap. Dude's he's hitting .250+ most weeks. The power's pretty much been non-existent, stealing bags. So in a deeper league, I can see the appeal. 12s, it's a little trickier to go with Brandon Marsh, but definitely a good week for him, to your point, with the matchups that were discussed.
Yep.
Washington Nationals have 6 games, 3 at home versus Cincy, 3 at the Minnesota Twins, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Nats. But again, I'm not going to play Dylan Lyle. So there's not a whole lot I'm going for here.
No, there's not a whole lot. Just one thing I figured I'd mention is CJ Abrams. This was kind of quiet to me. Like, you hurt his shoulder heading into the break.
Yep.
Just keep an eye on that. Like, you're starting CJ Abrams, of course, if he's in the lineup, but certainly not something you want to have linger. Outside of that, I don't have anything on the Nats. I mean, Brady House had a nice little week heading into the break, but that's for me more of a corner infielder in 15 teamers. If you need somebody, power hasn't really been there for Brady House. I think he's got 3 barrels in 98 plate appearances. So that's not great.
It's not great at all. So yeah, not a whole lot for me when it comes to the Nationals as well. Chicago Cubs, they have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the Royals, 3 at the Chicago White Sox, which we obviously love, and you mentioned Cade Horton earlier in that mix. 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Cubs. Their lineup is pretty much rinse and repeat.
Pretty much rinse and repeat, except at third base. Like, Matt Shaw, it's not working for him this year. And entering the ring, Vidal Brujan and John Birdie.
John Birdie's getting some run, dude. But
it's honestly, like, lefties, yeah, maybe I shouldn't laugh so much about Birdie, because we've seen what Birdie can do. I mean, it's a couple years ago now when we had all those Birdie bags, but if John Birdie gets regular playing time at third base, like, that could be a stolen base game changer. How old is John Birdie at this point, though?
We don't discriminate on this show. He is 30, almost 36.
He's almost 36. I don't know. Just throwing that name out there because he got 11 steals. He's 11 for 13.
No, if he plays like he played against the last 2 lefties, Brujan got the righty, so it might be a platoon. We'll have to watch a little more there, but I was playing Birdie in my Cub stacks for $2,000 on DraftKings last week, so I had zero problems with that at all. Like, if he's in there, he can accumulate fantasy stats with the goodness with you on that completely.
Wouldn't be surprised if the Cubs make a move as well.
Yes,
to shore up third base as your guy. Uncle Ted mentions Ryan McMahon plus Shaw platoon could work. So
if he's mentioning it, it probably won't work. So let's go to the Cincinnati Reds on this one, who has six games this week, three at Washington, three at home in Great American, all righties on tap for Cincinnati. Your boy Jake Fraley is back, if that interests you, but he sat the last two games out of the break after coming back from the IL. Benson is still getting action. Gavin Lux, where are we going here?
I don't know if you're going anywhere. Like, unless Fraley, let's see if Fraley plays this weekend. I don't even know if Fraley's good. I just like him. Will Benson doesn't. He had that killer half week. But yeah, I like and maybe Gavin Lux if you want. But it kind of sucks because it is six righties, and like the options that the Reds are presenting us aren't all that attractive to me. And three of the games are on the road, so.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that because, yeah, we've done this Lux, Benson, Fraley thing the last couple of times they've had, and they're not very good. They might have one good game, but as a whole, you know, you probably have better streaming options out there this week.
Yep.
The Milwaukee Brewers, they have six games this week, three at Seattle, three at home versus Miami, all righties for the Brew Crew as well, which slightly interesting. We have what you call Jake Perkins is going to start the that's up for debate still. He has a grade one hamstring strain. They're hopeful he's back on Friday. I think that's our Sal Frelick. Sorry, not Perkins.
Yeah, I was going to say Frelick, right?
Sorry, yeah, Frelick, yeah. Yes. They're hopeful he's back Friday with a grade one strain. I thought they just put him on the IL, retroactive. He comes back next week, whatever. Keep an eye on that. That might free up something in the outfield. But other than that, what do you like with Milwaukee?
Not much. Honestly, one thing I'm looking at is Andrew Vaughn's playing time.
Tough week for Vaughn potentially.
Right. Yes. Like, and he was added widely this past week, had a great week heading into the break, but may not play against righty. Like, he's not going to, I don't think, not start any game, but like Jake Bowers could get the majority of reps against right-handed pitching. So
did you pick Bowers up?
No. It's more just like if you just picked up Vaughn and you feel like you need to start him, it may not be the best week for him.
That's a very, very good point. Because, it's probably not good. And if you have Jacob Mizrowski, just keep pitching him. The guy's awesome. Just go throw it out there. Dude's freaking amazing. Yeah. Quinn Priester's pitching well. The whole rotation's pitching well. So most of them are rostered, though. Just thought I'd throw that.
I did not realize the Brewers. Wow. They're 16 games above 500. They're one game back of the Cubs. I did not realize that. Balling.
Yep.
Wow.
And they still have one of their best starters in the minor league, in Logan Henderson. So, yeah, big boy stuff happening there. Jose Quintana keeps pitching for them.
Well, and they're doing it all without Garrett Mitchell. So,
yeah, and a wounded king as well.
Wounded king. That's right. Wounded William Contreras.
Yes. So the impressive stuff they got going on there in Milwaukee. Pittsburgh Pirates have six games all at home, three versus Detroit, three versus Arizona, all righties for the Pirates, but really doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. This lineup's atrocious. I mean, the thing I'm looking at second half is this the year they trade the hometown David Bednar somewhere? I don't know, but you may want to take a stab at Dennis Santana, who could get traded himself as well. But I think Dennis Santana, who got in a fight with a fan in the bullpen.
But then it turned out it was the fan's fault, so he got supported on that one.
Yeah, still, though. You gotta rise above, Dennis. But
he tried to rise above the fence and get him.
He did. Unsuccessfully. Yep. But
as the Coldplay guy found out, there's cameras everywhere. You gotta be very careful what you do in public nowadays.
Right. I just prefer not to go out in public. So
that's true. You bunker down in the cave and get stuff down there in the lab.
Yeah, that's right.
Smart move.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm just throwing Bednar out. I feel like they should trade David Bednar, but they haven't the last couple of years when it would have made sense. So why would they do it this year? But rumors are swirling around David Bednar, and that would open up a spot for at least a few saves.
That is true. All right, St. Louis Cardinals, they have seven games this week, three in Coors Field, which is a 5.6% K to walk with that team, and then four against the Padres. It is two lefties and five righties, and two of those lefties are in Coors Field, if that matters for you. But Nolan Gorman's facing lefties and righties. Now, he's a little banged up, but I think he'll be okay. Anything else you like here with the Cardinals?
No, it's a great schedule. It's just a lot of these guys are just doing their thing. I mean, Yvonne Herrera, that's the big one, right? Was activated. Weirdly activated before the last game of the All-Star break.
They got on a Sunday.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, bizarro world.
And I guess he's not going to catch.
Nope. So it's a DH the rest of the way. So
full time.
That's what they're saying.
So that kind of throws a wrench into because that was kind of a rotating DH, but nothing really actionable. I don't know. Yeah, Yvonne Herrera. He's I'm pretty sure widely rostered, but
100%.
But it's a nice landing spot week for Yvonne Herrera.
Most definitely. All right, the NL West, the Arizona Diamondbacks, 6 games, 3 at home versus Houston, 3 at Pittsburgh, 3 lefties, 3 righties. Not much for me here.
I'm going to stick my neck out for your guy. It's a little bit of a spec play, but Adrian Del Castillo, I think will be up within, certainly by the trade deadline.
Well, did you see what I put in the Discord about an hour before the show? Yes. Okay. He might be up on Friday.
He might be up on Friday. I hope he's not, because I'd like to get Adrian Del Castillo cheap and fab on Sunday. Though if he doesn't play,
he might not be
eligible, depending on what site you play on or whatever. But I really think Adrian Del Castillo, I believe he's he should be catcher eligible still. Really like him as an ad you want to get ahead of, because even if it's not imminent, I think the Diamondbacks are selling Eugenio Suarez and or Josh Naylor. Both are free agents at the end of the year, and that would open up plenty of playing time, in my opinion, at DH, first, catcher, whatever, for Adrian Del Castillo.
They were working him at first base before the season, so there was talks about just getting his bat out there. For those that wonder what I meant by dropped in the Discord, he was in Arizona at the training, practice on Thursday, and he has a locker at the stadium right now, which usually only players on the team have at this point in time. So I'm very optimistic that ADC will be joining the team on Friday. So very excited for my DC shares. Nothing else really for the D-backs, unless you got anything.
Nah, I was shut out tonight on Kevin Ginkle and Tout Wars Fab, which may be a blessing in disguise, addition by subtraction.
For two reasons, because Shelby Miller is going to start a throwing program, his second opinion required.
Which I didn't know. I did not know that.
But the other reason for Ryan's sake is I love to say when Ginkle's ruining his outing that he's ginkling down his leg. So I just would probably text that to Ryan if he actually rostered him religiously. Now he gets to avoid that coming from me.
Yeah, thank God.
Yes. Colorado Rockies, 6 games, 3 at home versus St. Louis, 3 at Baltimore, 2 lefties, 4 righties for one of the worst offenses in all of baseball.
Yes. And thus, I don't have much. Mickey Moniak was hitting pretty well entering the break. Our guy, the good doctor, Doc Luke, you might want to pick up Mickey Moniak against right-handers when you can. Outside of that, is Tyro Estrada healthy? That's one of my questions coming out of the break. Missed the 5 games leading into the break, Estrada did. So I want to see what's up with that. And then just a general hope it's a really good second half for Brenton Doyle. I think it'll be a nice turnaround for him.
Really hoping for the second half. Yes. What the thyroid thing is just silly. Why not put him on the IL? And then Moniak I would pick up. I was preaching Moniak and Freeman last week because they had 3 games out of the break, 3 games to start this next week. So you get 6 Coors games with those two. Moniak's still 55% rostered in 12s. Freeman's over 94%. So, get some Moniak in your life. I have zero problem with that. He's a very strong potential stream, at least especially in the first half of the week.
First half of the week. I mean, Liberatore, Fede, and Palante, at home in Coors. That's
the Baltimore series isn't bad either. You get Sagano and Eflin.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's not in Coors.
Yeah, it's not, but he's
you're right. It's a very nice schedule for the Rockies this week, for sure.
Dodgers, they have 6 games, 3 at home versus Minnesota, 3 at Boston, 1 lefty and 5 righties for a Dodgers team that Tommy Edmonds can't hit all of a sudden. Hyesung Kim's playing a lot versus righties, which is a plus. Where are you at with the Dodgers?
I think you were asked, or we were asked in the Discord, is Tommy Edman a drop in 12s? I think you said yes.
I said yes.
Just because, yeah, he's not doing much and maybe still hurt. So that's not great. I mean, for the Dodgers, we got to talk about the rotation, right? I mean, it's like a weekly thing. I have no idea what they're going to do, but like, it sounds like Emmett Sheehan is going to pitch on Saturday. Thus, he's in the rotation and would line up against, I guess he'd get Boston this week. So I don't know. Emmett Sheehan is definitely an ad.
He gets Sheehan next Saturday, also against Boston. Be a Saturday if things line up the way it's looking. And Blake Snell maybe comes back the following week as well.
So who's out? Like, someone will get hurt, sure. But like, Yamamoto, Otani's stretching out. Is there some kind of piggyback there? Dustin May, he hasn't been good. You're not going to boot Glass now. You're not going to boot Kershaw. I don't know.
What's weird is they, when Snell comes back on RotoWire's grid, they have Otani out because they must just have him opening or something.
Yeah, it's
a lot of moving pieces for a team that doesn't stay healthy. So this might work itself out.
Exactly. So it's probably not worth spending that much time on. It's really the actionable thing is Emmett Sheehan. Like, he's probably widely rostered, but he sounds like he is in the rotation for now. And Blake Snell coming back soon for relief.
And the other one I'll mention, Blake Treinen will be back this week. And Tanner Scott has the most blown saves in baseball. So Blake Treinen will get some ninth inning roles, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're too low on Tanner Scott.
Blake Treinen was already getting chances in the ninth inning before he got hurt.
Tanner Scott's still good, man.
Blake Treinen's very good too.
Yeah, he'll get some spot saves.
Yes, so don't sleep on that one. San Diego Padres, 7 games all on the road, 3 at Miami, 4 at St. Louis, 1 lefty and 6 righties for the Padres. What do you got?
Sheets is back. Dad strength.
Yes, the Sheets. They're cleaning Sheets regularly right now because of the baby.
Yes, they are. Congratulations to the Sheets family on the addition of their little one. Hopefully that parlays into a nice second half there. Outside of that, they're in trouble, man. This rotation outside of Pivetta, it's not great. They got a good bullpen. They got a decent lineup, but man, unless Dylan Cease turns this thing around, you're relying on Randy Vasquez, Yu Darvish, Michael King. Like, I don't know. Is he alive? Have we heard anything on Michael King?
I haven't heard anything since he started throwing on flat ground. So, no.
Great.
He's supposed to throw off the mound, hopefully, this weekend, but I haven't heard anything since they said that like 4 days ago.
That was one very damaging night of sleep for a bunch of my teams.
Man, hopefully they had to clean the sheets after that at that pace. But yes. All right. The San Francisco Giants, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Atlanta, 3 at home versus the Mets, 1 lefty, 5 righty. So we usually like that when it comes to the Giants, but it's like, if you want your Yaz, whatever, but he's not crushing it. Maybe Dom Smith, but he still doesn't even play every day, even with the righties. There's not a whole lot here for me.
Agreed. Where the hell is Fitz, back in the minors?
Yeah, he got sent down. Casey Schmidt got up.
Yeah, that's right. Schmidt was back. I don't know. I always like Yastrzemski in righty heavy weeks, and it's a good schedule. I mean, it's Davis, Daniel, Elder. Who knows with Strider? Clay Holmes hasn't been good. Dean Peterson's been good, but David Peterson's been good. Senga's been good, but decent schedule for Yaz, but that's about it.
I will mention, hopefully someday we see Carson Wisenhunt. A name that some people might remember, Keaton Wynn, is expected back off his rehab assignment very soon.
I liked him last year.
I know. A lot of us did, and things didn't go well, so keep an eye on that. He could end up joining the Giants rotation here sooner than later, so that's another name to keep in mind. I'm not like running to get him just yet, but there's plenty to be optimistic about with Keaton Wynn is the best way I'll say it.
It'd be good to have a Wynn be good at baseball this year. So
it definitely would be, Ryan. Any other thoughts on this schedule as we went team by team, all 30 teams right there, as we're, again, for the listeners, we're going off what we have right now, still subject to change when it comes to the schedule.
Yep, absolutely. But I think just general fab strategy wise, if you've got room, you need saves, this is the time to spec on, just look at the trade deadline. I mentioned maybe a handful of names that could be moved and who would fill in. I think that's probably a decent play that you could do for a couple bucks in fab. And if it doesn't work out, you know, at the deadline to cut and move on, but it could also, you know, get you some cheap saves, which if you need that's a good thing.
No doubt about it. All right, let's head to some two steps again, going off a projected schedule, hoping for the best here. Ryan, are you ready to roll?
Always. Never not ready.
That's all I like to hear. Zach Gallen, first Houston at Pittsburgh.
How ready hell are yeah. you, Ryan? How yes.
you? Hell yeah. 15s, sure. 12s, no. Not a chance. And 15s, it's still scary, but I get it. In fact, I'm still
wrong. He's pitched well, dude. It's a good schedule.
What? What? He's pitched well? Did you see his last start?
What did he do his last start?
Well, let me tell you. He gave up 6 runs in 5 innings, walked 2, struck out 3.
No, that's not great.
He had 2 good starts where he had 0 and 1 runs.
Yeah, 5, that's what 7, I was 4, thinking. 4. I must have missed his last start. He had 19 Ks, 1 walk, and 2 starts, man.
Yep, Giants and Padres, the division rivals. Outside of that, boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah. All right, I still do it in 15s.
15s, yes, I'm with you, but God, it's so bad. It's embarrassing. The A's, you get Jacob Lopez at Texas at Houston.
I think you have to. Houston,
especially. Let's just check something out here real quick.
I mean, he's got 19% K to walk for Jacob Lopez, 12% swing strike. Like, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, Texas, not the best versus lefties. Houston, right. Very good versus lefties. So, kind of in a two-step week, you roll with it. 15s for sure. I could see a 12-team stream if you want to. The other one's Jake Perkins. If he joins the rotation, I assume if he joins it, you're obviously starting him.
If he does, I'm skeptical of that, though, but we'll see.
Yeah. Your boy, Davis Daniel versus the Giants at Texas.
Actually, a good
two-step, but
No.
Okay. Orioles, Sagano at Cleveland versus Colorado. I think you have to.
I think that's a pretty good stream, man. That's a pretty good stream. Cleveland's rough right now, and we all know Road Rockies. So,
what about Zach Eflin if he returns from the IL?
I'm sitting that one out.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm in wait and see mode there.
I'm with you. Red Sox, Fitz at Philly versus the Dodgers. I don't think he makes both those starts.
Yeah, I am out on that.
And if he does, I'm not starting him anyway. So
right, exactly.
You already answered this one, but Cade Horton versus KC at the White Sox.
Yep.
15s for sure, 12s roster dependence, the nicest way I'll say it. Like, if you really need wins and strikeouts, go for it. If you need ratios, I'm wary. Cincinnati, Brady Singer at Washington versus Tampa Bay.
Oh, God. I'm probably doing it in 15s, but doesn't excite me.
Yep. No excite on that one. Cleveland, Logan Allen versus Baltimore at Kansas City. One of the better matchup schedules this week.
This is tough. This is. Yeah, I think I do it in 15. The matchups are golden. Baltimore and Kansas City are terrible against lefties.
I honestly debate it in 12s.
God, but I don't think Logan Allen's any good, but like, who are your alternatives? So. Yeah.
Well, he got his teammate Joey Cantillo versus Baltimore at Kansas City is even better. So I like him in 12s.
I actually think Cantillo's
good,
pretty decent. So yeah, definitely Cantillo.
Yeah, with you there. Austin Gomber versus St. Louis at Baltimore rates out very well this week.
Yeah, so do his skills. No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, not a chance. Detroit, Casey Mize, you're starting. Hunter Brown, you're starting. Colton Gordon, if in the rotation, at Arizona versus the A's.
Probably.
15s, yes. 12s, no.
Yeah, that's...
Especially if Eugenio's back, and he's supposed to be back Friday, but if for some reason Eugenio's really hurt, that makes that lineup a lot more palatable.
My guy plunked him in the All-Star game.
Yeah, what Shane Smith. Everybody on Twitter, this is why the White Sox didn't deserve someone in the All-Star game.
So on brand, man.
Yeah, we suck, so let's just like injure one of the best stories in baseball. Kyle Hendricks at the Mets versus Seattle. No,
you don't need to list opponents.
Carson Fulmer at the Mets versus Seattle. No.
God.
Lord, the Angels. Miami, Yuri Perez. Yes, he's been awesome. You might get a Woodruff at Seattle versus Miami because they have Nestor Cortez pitching. He still needs like 2 more rehab starts, so that is not going to happen. So Woodruff maybe at Seattle versus Miami. Yeah.
Yeah, he's auto start.
Yep, just making sure. Potentially, no, that's not going to. There's a lot of what ifs with Minnesota, so watch that. Kode Senga versus LA, Angels at the Giants. Yep.
Yep.
Marcus Stroman at Toronto versus Philly.
No. No. Hell no.
Cool. Zach Wheeler's a yes. Mitch Keller versus Detroit versus Arizona if he's wearing a Pittsburgh uniform.
Yeah. It's a tough. That's a really tough schedule. Both those teams crush righties. So I think I would bench Keller in 12s.
Yeah, 15s he's going though. Padres, you're not playing Randy Vasquez or Colek. I'm just going to move on from that. Brandon Wu and George Kirby are pitching. Landon Roop at Atlanta versus the Mets. He's been really good, but it's a tough
you. Yeah, he's been pretty good.
I'll do it. That Braves offense doesn't scare me, man.
Yeah, that's true.
And they'll probably rope him now that I said that, but it's really not a good offense right now.
Yeah.
I'm starting him.
I'm starting him in 15s.
Starting him in both. We're rolling with the Roop train.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Matthew Liberatore at Colorado versus San Diego. Yes.
Yeah, I'm doing that.
Eric Fede at Colorado versus San Diego.
I am also doing that.
All right.
Never mind. No, I got him screwed up with Eric Lauer. Never mind.
Okay,
no.
I was going to go. Eric Fede usually despises
Eric. Eric Fede sucks. No, I'm not doing that.
Shane Baz, you're starting. DeGrom, you're starting. Gossman versus the Yankees at Detroit.
I mean, you have no, like, it almost doesn't matter who the opponents are with Gossman.
It's all or nothing.
It's all or not, like, against whoever. So, yeah, you do it. It's just, God, he scares me.
Same with Scherzer. You do it, but he scares me. Washington, Jake Irvin versus Cincinnati at Minnesota.
God. No.
Yeah, not a chance. Not doing it.
Not doing that.
All right, any final thoughts on Fab before we go to some listener questions?
Nope. Covered it as usual in a lot of depth.
All right. We have one Twitter question from Roto Tricks. He says, and he's from across the pond, and you'll figure this out real quick. You chaps do great work, and you always show up for seriously detailed rundowns. Love that I can watch on YouTube or pick it up on Spotify later. Keep at it, guys. P.S. Can you talk to me a little about Hayden Birdsong? Is the starting gig just showing up his walk issues of old? Yeah, it's annoying because if he has any control, he's dominant, but he has really struggled with consistency in that regard. And then he usually has to give in and then he gets hit. And it's almost like a Dylan Cease feel when I watch him pitch, because it's like last start, one run, but five walks in 6 Ks, four walks. Like the walks are coming back in a big way right now.
Okay. Appreciate the kind words, Roto Tricks.
Yep. Thank you very much, Mr. Roto Tricks. All right. As usual, we have some Discord questions. So let me go find the old show questions tab here, because I'm so prepared on this one.
I haven't changed the name of the channel in a while.
I know. You've been good to me. All right. BP says, think Joe Boyle is going to continue to follow Rasmussen. So no, we've answered that question. He is not going to do that. I have him. I need to make sure he's my daily lineup league lineup. Yeah, he's going to be coming out of the bullpen, which makes it even harder in the daily league.
Especially if it's not a true piggyback, right? If Rasmussen goes five, then yeah.
Makes it quite tricky. JM 1000 or 10,000 says, that being said about rotations, if the choice is, I don't know if this guy is starting, I might end up with a zero, or a guy with a borderline usable matchup, but definitely starting, do you take the potential zero or the guy with the questionable matchup that is guaranteed to start the weekend?
Yeah. So like I've said this before on the pod, I don't think taking a zero for pitchers is the worst thing in the world. Like no. I take a zero over Eric Fetty. Don't force it. If you take a zero in a half week from a pitcher, it's fine. And if anything, it means you're maybe getting a two step the following week. So I don't force it is the correct answer on the pitching side. Obviously on the hitting side, you want to make sure you're covered and maximize plate appearances, but on the pitching side, I don't think it's not ideal, but I don't think it's that important either.
Agreed. And then Adam BR says, coming off the All-Star break, do hitters or pitchers tend to outperform their to date stats? I think it's totally player dependent and hard to quantify, but maybe you have data that suggests otherwise. Yeah, I have no clue.
Yeah, it probably isn't that hard to quantify, honestly. You could just kind of filter on dates and do some stuff. But I don't know, and I haven't seen any studies about it.
I'd say it's completely player dependent. I would like it's are they hurt?
Well, and like, I mean, players go on hot streaks, cold streaks. Is it because of the break, or is it? And I know everyone talks about like the home run derby cooldown. It's like, well, a lot of these guys are in the home run derby because they just had an epic first half. And like, yeah, you're going to cool down from an epic first half anyway. So it's just like so many variables there. I pretty much ignore it.
Bright side is Jazz too seems to be just fine. All right. That'll do it, my friend. Another one in the books, fab preview, questions, you name it, done and done. Anything else before we head out of here?
As Michael C. says, we have a Wrigley Friday game. So 2:20
Eastern. Austin versus the Cubs. Giolito.
Boston versus the Cubs.
Awesome. Colin Ray. Great way to start the second half.
I will have that on in the background, maybe with the open on as well as I'm working. So that'll be a good way to kick off the second half.
Yes, very, very much so. And we'll keep you posted here as much as we can throughout the rest of the season, doing the best we can to make most of these episodes coming up. But make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BDintrick. This is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 261. Catch you all next time.